Okay, for our third speaker, Ms. Kate Howe empowers students from medicine, public health, dentistry, allied health professions, and nursing to adopt facilitation strategies in a nutrition service project called Smart Cafe. An interprofessional student board recruits and trains volunteers to visit elementary school cafeterias where they encourage underserved children to try healthier eating. The outreach and interprofessional skills that the university students gain in the Smart Cafe program are not only helpful throughout students' future careers, but also contributors to improve patient outcomes and public health, a very difficult thing to actually do in these learning programs. So let's welcome Ms. Howe to the podium.
Hello, I'm Kate. I have no relationships to disclose. I do want to actually announce that my wingman is here, also visiting from Baton Rouge. So this is Lauren. If anybody's got any questions, she'd also be a good person to answer your questions. So Smart Cafe is an acronym. It stands for Student Mentors Advising Real-Time Choices About Food and Eating. And it is entirely student-led and student-run. First, want to describe a little bit about how Smart Cafe works. I want to talk about how it's interprofessional and why that's a good thing. So let's start with two problems. Our first problem is poor teamwork. We know that poor teamwork in healthcare leads to increased medical errors, which is a bad thing. Nevertheless, at LSU Health Sciences Center, and I don't think we're the only one across the country, we have very few interprofessional team opportunities for students. Our second problem is malnutrition, and we know that malnutrition is related to increased rates of infection, chronic disease, behavior and learning problems. Regardless, there are very few nutrition education courses or even content offered for health profession students. So this is a little girl we've gotten to know over the last 2 years, and I love this picture because you can see that she's sitting at the cafeteria table. She's got her food in front of her. I actually opened that food and stirred it around for her to try to get her to eat it, but instead you can see she's sneaking dry ramen noodles under the table. Pretty typical eating habits. I know because for 4 years I was a middle school teacher. And while I was teaching, I used to see my students fill up during the day on junk food. They would sit in class and sneak it, and then when they went to the cafeteria to eat lunch, they would get their tray, put it in the trash can, and then go sit at the cafeteria table. And when I used to talk to students about their diet, they were completely unaware that their diet was unhealthy. So we know that this is a problem. There's obviously many reasons why we know it's a problem, but one of them I will take the time to mention is the Bogalusa Heart Study. And when we look at the Bogalusa Heart Study, we see that the precursors for atherosclerosis start in kids as young as age 5. And the Bogalusa Heart Study is just on the other side of the lake from where we're sitting right now, here in the state of Louisiana. Here in New Orleans, more specifically, 22% of our population experiences food insecurity, and 72% of our children are eligible for nutrition programs, including SNAP and WIC. This slide has a map illustrating the food deserts here in the city of New Orleans. I don't know why they chose green for food deserts, but they did. And I will just mention that while most of these areas are in New Orleans East and St. Bernard Parish in the Lower Ninth Ward, here in New Orleans, most all of our schools are open enrollment. So even if a child is enrolled in a school in a neighborhood that's not a food desert, that child might still live in a food desert and vice versa. So Smart Cafe, the name of our intervention, has the goal to reduce adult risk factors for cardiovascular disease and diabetes by increasing healthy food consumption among children. And we've got a number of objectives associated with that goal. But we also have sort of a covert objective. And our covert objective is to improve future clinicians' ability to communicate with their patients or clients, and then also with other health professionals. So what do we do? Our student volunteers visit local elementary schools during lunch. And the schools we're in, the food service provider in those schools is Revolution Foods. You may have heard of them. They're based out of California. Their produce is regionally sourced, and their food exceeds USDA minimum guidelines. So not too much sodium, not too much sugar. That's part of the reason why the kids don't like to eat it. We sit with K through second graders in the cafeteria. We teach very basic nutrition knowledge using scripted lesson plans and four large mega blocks. The yellow stands for fat. If you've ever dissected, you know why we chose that color. The red stands for protein, green stands for carbs, and blue stands for vitamins. We encourage children to try unfamiliar but nutritious food, i.e. all of the vegetables and fruits. And even the entrees, which oftentimes feature baked fish and chicken, which the kids are not so keen to try. And then we also administer pre- and post-assessments so we can get a little data. In this particular picture on this slide, we have one of our med student volunteers. You can see that she's seated at a cafeteria table. She's got the four blocks in front of her. She's got the lesson plan in front of her as well. And she's sitting next to one of our students. Our student has a sticker because if a student tries, just takes one bite at least, of everything on their tray, they get a sticker. Stickers make the world go round. Kids see us coming and they start eating because they're like, stickers. And, you know, we're not too shallow for that. But in our first year, we were just in the School of Medicine. But this is our school, LSU-HSC. And we have six schools: graduate studies, public health, nursing, allied health, medicine, and just down the road a little bit, dentistry. So we decided to jump the broom and go interprofessional. According to IPEC, there are four core competencies for interprofessional collaborative practice. And these four core competencies are going to be the outline for my next few slides. The first core competency is values and ethics for interprofessional practice. In Smart Cafe, our student volunteers are exhibiting shared purpose. Nutrition is relevant to every single one of our professions, but it's not the special domain of any one of our schools. So none of us own it, which is why all of us own it. Our program is population-oriented. We're trying to improve the health of our city. And our Smart Cafe intervention builds mutual respect and trust. Each time we visit a school cafeteria, after we leave, we step outside, or if it's cold, into the lobby. But it's not usually cold because this is New Orleans. And we huddle. Everyone on our team stands around in a tight circle, and we listen to one another's reflections. What worked that day? What didn't work that day? And then we try to implement one another's suggestions on future school site visits. We're also improving in the area of roles and responsibilities. We're learning to better appreciate the scope of our abilities. For instance, an occupational therapy student mentioned one day during huddle that we should try telling hesitant kids to smell unfamiliar food to trigger that sensory stimulation. Maybe that would get them to try the new food. It works. We've been doing it. A dental hygiene student suggested that we have kids eat apples last in order to prevent dental caries. Don't have any data to support if this is working, but it seems like a good idea. A public health student shared the CDC's anticipated prevalence of diabetes, and we were all scared stiff and re-energized to continue in our mission. And because of our huddles and because of lessons like this, we're better learning to articulate our own contributions and as well as the contributions of others on our team. The third core competency is interprofessional communication. To communicate, obviously, you have to be available and receptive. So let's start with availability. It's very difficult to plan as students an interprofessional project like this because I don't know when nurses are in class. What if I don't even know nurses? They're in a different building than me. That's like I don't even talk to them, right? So we formed a student advisory board with representatives from five of our six programs at LSU-HSC. Our student advisory board compares schedules, so we know when public health students are in class, when dental hygiene students are in class, when our allied health friends are in clinicals, and when the med students have block exams. Because when med students have block exams, they don't do anything else. This is our third year of the program, and this year in the fall we trained over 120 student volunteers. That doesn't include our dental hygiene volunteers who are obligated to participate. It's a course requirement for some of them, and they only help us out in the spring, but we really like them. Since we're all students, we haven't really developed a professional hierarchy yet, so we're all pretty receptive to what everyone else has to say. And hopefully, with more programs like this, we won't develop such an awful professional hierarchy down the road. We're also learning to use a common language inside our teams and with our future patients and clients, currently the kids we're eating lunch with. We're learning to teach nutrition to kids, and if you can explain macronutrients to a kindergartner, I feel pretty good about your ability to teach nutrition to your future patients. We're also learning to teach strategies to our teammate without using jargon. When an OT student talks to me, I need them to use small words so I understand what they're saying. This is a picture on this slide that was taken actually during our volunteer training last year. You can just sort of see how this works, and we bribe student volunteers to attend by getting food donated by Whole Foods, so thanks Whole Foods. All right, our other core competency we're looking at is teams and teamwork. I mentioned our student advisory board. Our student advisory board meets once every other month to develop and evaluate organizational strategy and also monitor our operations. This, of course, in addition to the huddles, is an example of shared problem solving and decision making. And, of course, we're also always undergoing quality improvement. During each of our school site huddles, during one particular school site huddle, a public health student suggested that we relate new food to familiar food based on some literature that she'd read. This totally works. Kids were like, what is this? It was a nectarine. We were like, it's a smooth peach. Done. Once we figure out a new strategy, we teach it at our next training session, and then we build it into future lesson plans. So we're constantly undergoing quality improvement. So what's guiding all of this? For the most part, social cognitive theory. We're trying to change kids' outcome expectations so they look at a vegetable and say, I've had it before, I know I like it, I'll eat it again. We're trying to build self-efficacy in those kids. The kids at the schools we work at, they get to decide if they want a vegetable or not, and we want them so confident in their ability to ask for vegetables that they even do it at home. We're also building self-efficacy in our volunteers. We want them to be so used to explaining nutrition to kids that down the road, they're all about diet modification counseling with their patients and clients. And we're building collective efficacy. We're seeing that as a team, we have a greater capacity than any one of us would as an individual to influence change in these kids and down the road in our patients and clients. Observational learning is the last construct I'll mention here, and it's probably the construct where we stand where we should improve the most. It's difficult to get our student volunteers to eat the food because this is cafeteria food in elementary schools. I've tried it. It tastes fine, but it doesn't always look the best. So this is an area where we're trying to get our volunteers to basically man up. But in the meantime, we've gotten pretty good at finding that one kid at the table who will try the carrots, and then we're like, how were they? And the kids usually like, they were good. And once that one kid's like, they were good, the other seven kids try it. So we're getting that peer modeling in, but it's not necessarily coming from us. We could do a little better here. So in conclusion, our students at Louisiana State University Health Sciences Center are learning to teach nutrition to their future patients and clients, and we're also learning to better communicate inside an interprofessional team. We're hoping that this leads to less disease down the road, particularly in the city of New Orleans, and we're also hoping that it leads to better patient care through improved diet modification counseling and also reduction of medical errors. And I would just like to say that Smart Cafe is an incredibly, incredibly simple intervention. It has a narrow focus, and because of that, all health profession students are able to contribute. It's extraordinarily reproducible and scalable, and if you'd like to run it wherever you are, please talk to me afterwards. These are my references. Does anyone have a burning question? Yes, sir.
Great project, and so your
Right. So as it stands right now, we're not really engaging the parents. I'll say we have two big goals for this coming spring semester. One of them is a nutrition symposia at LSU to build up more of a culture at LSU for this. And the second goal for the spring semester is to have at least one parents' night in the schools where we are to try to engage with the parents a little bit so they know more about what we're doing with their kids. Certainly, any good intervention would more fully address all of the issues surrounding child nutrition. As I mentioned, we're very narrow focused. As a student-run and student-driven initiative, we have to be in order to be sustainable. But definitely parents are an area we'd like to expand into. Thanks. Right, so you can see she's going to get a sticker because she tasted it.
One bite at a time, right?